Welcome to Standing in the Sunlight with Cynthia Rose. We are all on an ever-unfolding unique journey. Join Cynthia Rose as she begins her unique perspective to all that is meaningful. Topics and personalities that support your path, bringing inspiration and passion and heart-centered ways to live a more fulfilling life. A down-to-earth and uplifting sharing of what it means to be spiritual, creative, and living life to the fullest by standing in the sunlight. Born an intuitive medium, Cynthia Rose is also an ordained minister, singer, astrologer, educator, and writer. She has studied the intuitive and healing arts for over 40 years. Rise up and stand in your sunlight now with Cynthia Rose.
Hello, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are in the world. I'm so happy you've joined us. I'm Cynthia Rose McCall, your host. And I would just like to mention Brendan's not available today on the Cynthia Rose Medium group as he is elsewhere, but you can always leave us a message in there if you have other questions that we can forward after. I'd love to connect with you on Cynthia Rose Medium on Facebook or on YouTube. And of course, CynthiaRoseMedium.com. So today I'm really excited. It's afternoon for me. I'm in Denver today, and I have a guest on my show today. I'm excited to talk with her. I felt like when I met her, I just could feel a little whisper in my ear. Bring this one. So that's how I listen. That's how I do it. So I have Elizabeth Grace that's joining me today, astrologer from New York. Elizabeth, are you there?
I am here live in New York.
I love that. Yeah. And she's also a lot of fun. You're going to find out.
We better have fun. Otherwise, I want my money back.
Yeah.
I didn't pay anything to be here. But we like to have a good time. When we will.
Yes. And I thought maybe we'd start. So I know that you talk about one of the things you specialize in is astrology in the news. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Yeah. So maybe is there anything you want to share before we jump into talking about it, or maybe even share something about how you got into that or anything at all? This is an open book show.
I will tell you a story. So when I was 4 years old, I used to read the New York Times. Always been interested. I know. I read the New York Times at age 4. I was quite precocious. And then when I was age 9, I read Linda Goodman's Sun Signs. And that's got me all excited about astrology. And then I went off and went to school, went to Wellesley College, and ended up getting into advertising for film and television, and sort of abandoned my interest in astrology, although I was always passionate about it. But it just didn't seem like a real job, at the time, how it was back in the day.
Yes.
So I got into television and marketing and segued into promoting news. So I left, working for NBC and promoting, tonight on NBC and all new friends. I wrote that many times. Okay.
Okay.
Many times I wrote that. And then eventually I got into moving from, network television into news. And in conjunction with that, there was a forecast that used to be written by an astrologer named Rocky Gardner, if you're listening and you're in LA or New York, you would remember her from LA Weekly. And she used to write a mundane forecast, mundane astrology, meaning not, how do we use astrology to understand our natal horoscope, but how can we use astrology to look at planetary cycles in ways that are going to apply to everybody? Not just sun sign astrology. And I thought this was and when you're just first getting into astrology, I was listening to some of your earlier shows today, and you had this one passage where you were talking about how astrology applies to everything. And it is so true. But when you're just starting out as an astrologer or astrology student, you don't realize how vast the application is. Anyway, so Rocky used to write this forecast about how the energy of the of the day, the planetary cycles of the day would be applicable for everyone. And then she died. And for 6 months, I know she died. Okay, so door closes, window opens. I realized after 6 months of missing her forecasts that I would have to write it myself. I didn't know if I could do this, but I was resolved to try. And I was also working in a newsroom. And I started to notice that I would be writing about planetary patterns on a particular day. And then the stories that would be coming over the wires that would be capturing the attention and getting on the front page or the top of the 11 o'clock hour would be reflecting these planetary patterns.
Beautiful.
And I thought, that is, I know, I thought, that's really cool. And nobody else at the time, this was about 10 years ago, was really talking about the specific headlines in the news. We talk about world events, mundane astrologers who talk about, you know, economic cycles and political cycles, but nobody was really talking about what's making that story hit page one. And so I started experimenting to see, can I predict, or anticipate what's going to be on the homepage or the front page of the New York Times, my hometown paper, the paper of record? Can I do this? And I found that, yes, I can. It's like astrology is amazing. We see, you know, in the news, like in a week where Neptune is all over the head, all over the, you know, like Sun square Neptune, all everybody's walking around in a fog. You'll see on the in the news stories about drugs, alcohol, scandal, oil, all of these, you know, classical Neptune themes, and that's practically all you'll see in the news. But then, you know, 2 weeks later, if you have, for example, Mars is in focus, Mars would be
It's going retrograde just about, isn't it?
It is. It just did with retrograde. And so, and if you look in the news this week, there's, you know, whenever a planet, what I found is when a planet slows and then changes direction, the fact that it's slowing down, you know, it brings it into focus. We really pay attention to it. And so we've seen a lot of stories in the news this week that were pushing boundaries in matters of aggression and anger and guns, war, trade wars. This is synchronicity that we're seeing. You following me? Everybody with me?
Yeah, I think you're doing a great job of explaining it.
Okay, yeah. I want to make sure everyone understands because these are like big ideas. So after I started doing the planetary cycles and what are we going to see in the headlines, then I started taking a look at the people who were making news. Like today, you know, Anthony Kennedy, Supreme Court Justice Anthony Kennedy, is announced his retirement. But if we look at his horoscope over a year and a half ago, which I did, you see that what's going on in his horoscope right now, that there's tremendous tension, pressure from outer planets, the slow moving planets like, you know, Uranus and Pluto, pressure on the angles and other planets in his horoscope, which suggest that this guy's going to need to make some big changes at this time. And he has.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then, you know, then when you start looking at everybody who's making news every day and that's all you see, then you start seeing some really interesting patterns that, you know, there's nearly always something going on the angles to the angles of the horoscope. The angles of the horoscope meaning your ascendant or your rising sign or your midheaven, you know, the cusp of the 10th house, which is why for people who are, you know, that's why astrologers ask you, what time were you born and where were you born? So we can figure out what the angles are. When you look at a horoscope, it's like looking at the compass points, the north, south, east, western points. Those points are extremely sensitive to the movement, triggers, planetary triggers, as you know, because you know you're born, you have your horoscope, and then things keep moving, and as they move around, they make contact, and so that's one you know, general broad statement that I was reinforced time and time and again, is that when stuff is happening, look at, you know, there's always going to be something going on with the angles. Okay, so that's, and then we could talk for millions of years about other examples, but I want to tell you the other part, because this is why I know, this is what we were talking about in at the Marriott in Chicago at UAC, about what I was preparing for to give a talk on. There was a headline that caught my eye back in December of 2013. It was very strange. The headline was Woodrow Wilson, the 28th president of the United States, comma, stud muffin. Woodrow Wilson, stud muffin. This was Maureen Dowd. She's a New York Times columnist, and this was her Sunday offering. That was the title of her column. And see, investigative reporter that I am, I'm like, why are we seeing this headline about Woodrow Wilson now? And so I went and looked at his horoscope. And on that particular day, December 7th, 2013, in Woodrow Wilson's horoscope, you notice he has Venus and Mars exactly conjunct together at 17 degrees of Aquarius. We don't really think of Woodrow Wilson as being a stud muffin, okay? So, when you really dig into that horoscope, you see, well, and then you see that Venus-Mars conjunction in Aquarius is square to Uranus, and that Uranus is in the eighth house, and, you know, so he kind of was, despite the fact that Woodrow Wilson has this 15-degree Libra ascendant and needs to be seen as somebody very people-pleasing and balanced and charming, and he's also a Capricorn. Actually, you know, it's funny. His sun is 7 degrees of Capricorn, was right on the full moon today, and the Sun-Saturn opposition. So it makes sense that we're talking about him now, because the horoscope lives forever. So his horoscope is being triggered today. We're having a conversation about it. But let's get back to his stud muffin. So the deal is that Maureen Dowd was having, she'd had dinner with the author of A. Scott Berg, I'm hoping I'm getting that name correctly, had written a biography about Wilson that had gotten a lot of press in September. But what they found, that what they were talking about while they were having dinner 2 months after the book was published, was his sex life. And the fact that Woodrow Wilson wrote all of these letters, love letters, passionate letters to Edith Galt, who was his second wife, and it people, that's all they were talking about. So anyway, yeah, okay, you're just, and there are all these other patterns in Woodrow Wilson's horoscope when you look at it, which make it clear that he needs to be known for the way he thinks. He has Mercury opposing his midheaven. So okay, all of the energy.
And just for the listeners, in case you don't remember, yes, midheaven is the career house. It's the, yes, public eye.
Yes. So, thank you. So the energy of Mercury, how he needs to think and communicate, is going to be very much, it needs to be publicly visible. We need to see how he thinks and speaks. And there is another pattern going on in his horoscope. The ruler of his third house, which is, you know, related to how we need to think and communicate. I'm going to throw a new term here. At the Aries point, Jupiter at the Aries point. The Aries point is the first degree of the cardinal signs, Aries, Libra, Cancer, Capricorn. But the translation in plain English is, anything he has to say is destined to attract attention. So on this day, are you following me? So this guy is destined to be a prominent communicator, and we look at his horoscope and we see he's kind of a very excitable guy here with that Venus-Mars conjunction in Aquarius. He is all that. And on this day that they're writing about his Woodrow Wilson stud muffiness, transiting Saturn, was it 17 degrees of Scorpio, making an exact square, putting pressure, giving gravitas to that Venus-Mars conjunction at 17 Aquarius.
That's really interesting. Yeah.
Isn't that interesting? And there, and in the New York Times, the paper of record, we're having a serious discussion about his love letters and his love and lust for Edith Gold, his second wife. So there's that pattern that jumped out at me. And the other thing that was interesting is that transiting Mars was opposing the ruler of his third house, which is that very prominent Jupiter at the Aries point. It was exactly opposing it. So it's, and when you have Mars making a very intense contact with a pattern in your horoscope, we see it as action, assertion.
Right. I have an off question for you that just came up.
Yes,
so
please.
Did he have Venus in the fifth house?
Did he have Venus in the fifth house? Let me just confirm there. Where is his beautiful horoscope? His beautiful horoscope. It was actually, it was on the cusp of, it's the fifth house cusp. Using Placidus houses. Okay. The cusp of the fifth house is 20 degrees of Aquarius, and his Venus Mars conjunction was at 17 Aquarius. So, we that's a wonderful subject of debate among astrologers as to whether it's sitting in the fourth house or the fifth, and arguably it's straddling both.
Okay. All right.
But Venus rules. Yeah. So Aquarius is, Uranus is ruling the fifth, and Venus is ruling the eighth. So the fifth is his love affairs, the love he has to give to the world.
Yeah.
The eighth, so there's a relationship between this, the fifth and the eighth that is then triggered. So what was fascinating here is just the fascinating thing was, this guy is dead. Woodrow Wilson is dead. He is not around to take action or have an opinion or say anything. And yet his horoscope is functioning just as we would expect it to if he were alive.
Well, and I, for me, people don't, they die from this plane of existence.
Mm-hmm.
But I've had many experiences with clients and loved ones where they have affected electricity or affected things in this realm. And so to me, they're never dead. So in a sense, they continue on forever. We're eternal. So it makes sense. It makes perfect sense that we would be eternal. That's beautiful. And I love that you're studying that. I love that you researched that because it's your passion. It's clear.
Yeah. I started looking at other cases. Some of them are really, because I try to see the humor in situations and I can give you more examples of how this stuff worked or it's like, what would you like to talk about next? I can talk about, what would you like to know? What shall we talk about?
So, and I know that we're going to get queued up for a break, but when we come back, let's talk a little bit more about maybe another example. Is there one, maybe a celebrity or something that you've looked at? I'm getting something about a celebrity here coming up.
How about Lucille Ball? I've got a really
fun story. Oh, perfect. Let's talk about Lucille Ball when you come back.
Okay.
Just hold on. Go get a glass of water, everyone. And we will be back in a couple of minutes with Elizabeth Grace.
Your conscious lifestyle on steroids. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Own Times magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Connect at omtimes.com. Om Times, creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of Om Times Magazine's flagship radio show, What Is Going On? My passion is sifting through information, research, and innovations from New Thought teachers, speakers, and researchers pushing back the boundaries of what we know about life, energy, metaphysics, and the universe. I love shifting perceptions about who we are, why we're here, and how quickly impossible becomes normal when we open our minds, expand our awareness, and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. So if you're the kind of forward-thinking, eager investigator of what lies beyond the current reality that most perceive, why not make a date to come play with me in the field of possibilities at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time every Thursday, and together we can discover what's really going on.
Hi, I'm Danica Patrick. Watching my nieces grow, play, and learn is amazing, but not every child gets to be carefree. 1 in 6 kids in the U.S. are hungry. This breaks my heart, and it's something that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and gives it to families in need. To help, visit feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
All right, so we're back with Elizabeth Grace talking about The Horoscope Never Dies, and we're going to talk about somebody I love so much. Just love Lucille Ball. If you're younger and you don't know who she was, she's one of the funniest women to walk the planet, who had the Lucy show. And if you are old and remember her, you probably loved her too. I mean, we all love Lucy, right? That was the name of the show.
We absolutely love Lucy, and I'm going to tell you a story about a time when she didn't get some love, and it's funny and quirky and weird. Okay. Want to hear it?
Yeah.
Okay. So Lucille Ball. Okay. So Lucille Ball. Now here's another fun piece of synchronicity. Lucille Ball was born on August 6, 1911, in Jamestown, New York, at 5 p.m. Anybody wants to run and pull her horoscope up? So she's a Leo. She is driven by the moon at 7 degrees of Capricorn. More synchronicity.
Moon
in Capricorn in the first house. This is an entrepreneurial lady. She needs to do her own thing, and she derives her satisfaction from making things happen. Achievement. She's an executive authority. But isn't it wild that her moon is at 7 Capricorn, which is in sync with this full moon that we're talking about today?
It's like Woodrow
Wilson, yeah. 7 degrees of Capricorn. Her moon is at 7 degrees of Capricorn. So like cue the Twilight Zone theme now. All right. So here is this. She's this executive authority lady. Her sun is in a square to Mars and Taurus, and Mars and Saturn in Taurus. So this is a hard-driving, hard-working, patient, tenacious, enduring woman. She's going to last forever. When you look at the angles of her horoscope, you see that Uranus, and I love that discussion you were talking about. I call it Uranus, not Uranus. Uranus. You know, all right. So she's got Uranus, because it's very dramatic and fabulous, in the first house. Everybody sees her quirkiness. Everybody sees this electric buzz, and she's going to be a disruptor in whatever profession she is in, because we see that Uranus is square, making a hard connection, tension with the midheaven, which we said was her career point, right?
Right,
and
right.
Got that?
Yeah. And I love that Uranus on the first house. So it's kind of like there's that's media, Uranus, right?
It's electricity and disruption.
Electricity,
and
yes.
Anarchy. Yes. You know, the ruler of her 10th house is Venus. It's in the 9th house, which is the media house. Okay, the other thing she has going on that's pretty interesting is she has her ascendant, her rising sign is Capricorn. And it is also at the Aries point, i.e., it's at 1 degree Capricorn. So,
she's got the moon on the ascendant too.
If the moon is on the ascendant. So she is destined. She cannot help but attract attention, prominence. And Pluto is in her sixth house, opposing, but it's opposing that ascendant at the Aries point. So this is a woman who is enduring and can reinvent herself, because Pluto tears things down, builds things up. And when you think about how long lasting her career was and the many incarnations she had in her lifetime, you can appreciate how that was operating.
Yeah.
Got that? Okay. Yeah. So she dies in the 80s. And in 2009, she has transiting Jupiter opposing her sun. So Jupiter wants to expand. It needs to expand on the essence of Lucy, the Leo. She's a Leo, the Leo we love. So her hometown says, we're going to commission a sculpture and we're going to put it in the park and everyone can come and visit it and love Lucy and it's going to be fabulous. Okay, transiting Jupiter, yeah. Opposing sun. Okay, well, this is what else was going on. Pluto, transiting Pluto, was crossing her Capricorn ascendant back and forth all year.
A rebirth of Lucy.
Exactly. She's going to come into some new form. How wonderful that she's going to become a statue, right?
Wow.
Okay. So the ruler of her midheaven, how she needs, her public, recognition and status, which is Venus, is being squared. There's a hard, tense connection to the ruler of this, of Venus, her aesthetics, by Uranus, suggesting change, disruption, wackiness, maybe something unconventional, right?
Right. Yeah.
Okay. So a sculptor does this statue and they put it up in the park and we don't hear boo about it until 2015. Now, in 2015, what had happened was transiting Jupiter had moved from that opposition to her sun and was now sitting stationary right on her Leo sun. So now we have the beginning of a new cycle of expansion and honor and recognition. And what's happening at this time is that there is outrage, as if somebody noticed for the first time that the statue they put in this park is the ugliest zombie creature thing ever constructed in humankind. If you Google scary Lucy, you will see an image that is just beyond monstrous.
Oh.
Okay? Yeah. It is okay. Hideous. So hideous. So this is what happens when you have a sculpture, done of you under disruptive transits to your Venus. You're gonna get torn down and put together in something that looks like a, Pablo Picasso nightmare. Okay. So there's this huge outcry. So I'm sitting here and I'm reading about this going, why are we hearing about this now? And the obvious thing was, okay, well, she's finally getting some real love from her fans with this transiting Jupiter on the sun. And there's absolute outrage and there are other patterns in there that suggest that somebody's going to lose their head. And somebody does. It's the sculptor. He apologizes. He's embarrassed. He says, I'll try to fix it. And they're like, no, don't fix it. And then he says, you're right. I shouldn't fix it. In fact, I'm never going to sculpt anything again ever.
Oh my gosh, I just looked at the picture.
You just looked at it. I know.
Oh my gosh. It does not look like her at all. That I'm outraged because I love Lucy.
Exactly. You're absolutely outraged by everybody. Google scary Lucy statue. You'll just die. Oh my God. All right. But we see this in a horoscope. So they hire a new sculptor, a nice lady sculptor. And, I think it was last year. They put up this new beautiful, gorgeous statue of Lucy looking wonderful with pearls and a perfect dress. And it was installed when transiting Jupiter. Let me just grab my thing here. I'm pretty sure transiting Jupiter conjunct her Venus, ruler of her 10th midheaven.
Okay.
So she finally was loved.
Oh, yeah, I'm looking at that picture too. I'm looking at how it was replaced and I'm looking like, yeah, that looks more like her, but the other one, I'm like, that's ridiculous.
Exactly. But the cool thing is you see this in her horoscope because you're like, how could this happen? How could this happen? Well, if you look at her horoscope, this is what we would see. If she came to us in a consultation in 2009, we would be probably warning her of the dangers of hiring a sculptor to create, to do something in her image under those transits, because it's probably going to be disruptive and shocking and bizarre.
And looking like a man.
And looking like a man or a zombie or a monster. I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway,
yeah.
So that's another fun example.
That
Any questions?
Is fantastic. I love that. So now, and you brought up Uranus a couple of times. So
yeah.
I'm kind of thinking there's something there about I don't know if we want to go there, but I mean, when we talk about Uranus, if you look at, what do you think about Uranus and the eclipses, the major eclipses that we had been going on? I don't know if you want to go there right now or do it later, but that, let's put, we can just put that on the table and bring that up. But
we've got
about 5 minutes before a break, but
So
Lucy, so here's the thing that if we I'm going to go a little philosophical here, is that, you know, we affect the planets. Do the planets affect us? I see it as a co-creation, but, you know, how do you see that for people that are, I know there's people's heads that are spinning now going.
Okay, so here's the way I explain it. I can't even go to that the question because I honestly don't know. I'm not convinced that there's any thing, you know, on Pluto that's pushing us around. So I explain it to people that astrology is a language, just like Chinese or Spanish or English. Like, why? I am like noise is coming out of my mouth in some sort of system that you understand. Why? Why do you understand it?
Well, I see it because I see everything as energy and I see the planets as energy and I see it as a dance of energies, and how I dance with those energies is what's going on. The only thing is we're not all like 100% conscious, so we may not see it all.
Yeah, but the point about language is like, why do the words coming out of my mouth make any sense to you at all?
It's
a language that, you know, a section of the humanity thing has created. like English was created, and it reflects the consciousness of the people who use it, who invented it, and it evolves over time. If you and I were speaking, you know, if we were hanging out at the Rose Theater in, you know, watching a Shakespeare play, it would be a different kind of English. We might not understand it because the language evolves. And English is no more or less valid than any other language. Like, you know, French is a valid language. Chinese is a valid language. And so astrology is a valid language. And then the question is like, well, what do you want to talk about with the language? So astrology, the way I see it, is a language that expresses needs, events, trends through space and time. If you want to talk about astrology, I can sit there and go, well, Cynthia, Uranus is on my Venus and it rules my eighth house. And you immediately know what I'm talking about because I'm speaking, you get it. And it's like you get it really without even your mind processing. It's like you intuitively just understand that gulp of information. Just like you understand the blah, blah, blah coming out of my mouth in English.
Sure. And the interesting thing or philosophical thing to me that's interesting is that there was a point in time where I wanted to turn my back on astrology because I grew up with somebody always saying, oh, that's this is happening because of this. And I remember saying, well, I don't like Saturn, you know, and right. saying, okay, I don't like this right now. I'm just going to pretend it doesn't exist. And, you know, every time I would talk to him, he'd bring it up again. And yet I have looked back now to certain dates and times and gone, oh my gosh, it's in the chart. So it's just as valid as the chart lives forever. It's in the chart. It's always in the chart, even if you're dead.
Your horoscope is still going to work. And that is an astonishing mystery because what does that mean? I mean, what are we looking at here?
It's because we don't die.
Apparently not.
The map of us is always there. And, you know, and I know that we're going to get cued for a break. Maybe when we come back, you know, we should talk maybe a little bit about the news, about, you know, I kind of directed you and said, let's go over towards eclipse and stuff. But I think really what I was getting pulled toward is maybe talking a little bit about what's happening in the current news. And because that's your thing. So I want to get what you have got of that. We'll talk about your thing. So we'll be back in just a moment with Elizabeth Grace. We're having a blast. We look forward to joining us. Yes. Okay. See you in a minute.
Free your mind with Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
Tune in to the Practical Intuitive, Mind, Body, Spirit for the Real World with me, host Robin Fritz, Mondays at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 Eastern. I'll cover personal and business intuition, animal communication, mediumship, space clearing, past life regression, shamanic insights, energy healing, soul choice, and more, all to help you tap your own intuitive and healing skills. No ifs, ands, or buts.
The average time a resume spends on an HR manager's desk is 7 seconds, and most of them are tossed aside. Now imagine if one of those resumes belonged to Yasmin, who was
living in a shelter, juggling 3 jobs. I had to be resilient. That's something that you can't teach.
We rely so much on a resume, yet it could never tell the full story of someone who
had to be independent and take initiative, and that's how I handle every project I get.
Discover new ways to develop great talent at gradsoflife.org, brought to you by Grads of Life and the Ad Council.
OK, Okay, so we're back with the last segment, and we're going to talk with Elizabeth more about In the News Now. And on this day today that we're talking, we've got a moon in Capricorn that's joining Saturn and Pluto, right?
The moon in, well, let's see, the moon is in Capricorn. Well, the moon was void of course this morning in Sagittarius. So the void of course, it was a very long void, a moon void. If you think of, if everybody listening can remember an old fashioned pinball machine, you know, where you pull the lever, you know, this is before video games, you pull the lever and a little metal ball, which is representing the moon, it, you know, launches up into the game and it bounces off all these bumpers, right? You got that picture? Bounces off
these
bumpers.
That's a great way of describing
it.
Isn't that great? Cool.
Yeah. So it bounces off and the bouncing of the bumpers represents the contacts, the aspects, the relationship, its connection with the other planets. But then, you know, you're playing pinball and it's really great and you're racking up all points. And then all of a sudden, for whatever reason, the ball doesn't bounce against any more bumpers and it starts to fall back to the bottom of the game. And sometimes it gets hung up and you have to shake the machine to get it moving and it's kind of slow. And so, but when it's bouncing against those bumpers, there's very direct focused energy. And when it stops bouncing and starts to fall, it just kind of, there's just kind of a sigh. Release of energy until that little pinball, which is our metaphor for the moon, can be loaded up again into the next sign. So yesterday we had this, the moon went into Sagittarius on Monday at 12:29 a.m. Eastern time. And then at 8:54 a.m. yesterday, Eastern time, it made a connection with Neptune, square to Neptune. So this is going to permeate the day with this sort of hazy, foggy, confusing, vague palette. And then it releases. It wanders without, it doesn't make any contact with any other planets until today at 11:52 a.m. ET. You with me?
Yep.
During this void, so what do we do with the void? Okay, so the void suggests, in my experience, you know, a higher probability of twists and flakes and upsets interfering with our efforts to move forward in a straight line. Weird things happen, like you wake up and you put coffee in the coffee pot and then you pour the, and you forget to grind the beans. I've done that. Or
do you press coffee?
No, I have one of these Melita filter things. And so I grind the beans or something, but I wouldn't grind the beans and then pour the water over the, and I'm like, why didn't, and I'm thinking, okay, right. Okay. Twist, flake, strange disruption, upset, didn't see that coming. And I had a thought in my brain, it just went right out of my mind. What was I going to say? So the key word, so the way to handle voids is not to freak out over any crisis that comes up. It's usually much ado about nothing, and it'll just settle down, you know, once the moon gets back into focus. And I saw this time and time and again when I was working. I used to work at CNBC, and I was cutting, writing and producing little promos talking about what we're going to hear about on the news show or whatever. And anytime the moon was void, of course, you know, the producer's hair was on fire. They'd come into the room and say, oh, we have to get this thing done. We've got to get the spot done. And I would say to the editor, this isn't going to go anywhere. But we would sit and we would do the project. And then when the moon would get back into action, you know, so, it would just go away. You have to test this out for yourself, to pay attention to these. Like, don't believe anything you hear. You know, test these theories for yourself. Anyway, all right. So we had a lot of big opinions that came out yesterday Supreme Court opinions, very provocative. The one thing that is even more, I think, driving the news today is this sun. There's an opposition today between the Cancer sun and Saturn in Capricorn. And what I wrote about that was that we see the potential for a heaviness, gravitas, stories favoring corporations and patriarchy, endings, limitations. It was amazing. I was writing today's forecast, which you guys can read at graceastrology.com. As I was writing the forecast, one of the headlines that came across the wire was that a, quote, stern patriarch. I mean, that is sun opposing Saturn. A stern patriarch passed away, and that was Joe Jackson, who managed the musical family, you know, the Jacksons, Michael Jackson's father, and all of the Jacksons.
Oh.
I mean, to me, isn't that amazing? And then another thing that came just before we started the show, the headline, Rose Kennedy. Ethel Kennedy. I better get to the article. Kennedy, 90 years old. 90. Okay. This is Saturn in Capricorn. She is joining a whole bunch of celebrities in a hunger strike, you know, deprivation, you know, lack, cutting herself off to protest the way immigrant families are being separated at the border.
Cancer, food.
Cancer, food. Uranus in Taurus, using food, which is Taurus, as a means of expressing rebellion, perhaps.
Yeah. And, well, Cancer's eating. Taurus is the food. Cancer's the eating. Right.
Nourishment. Yeah, the nourishment. She's like, okay, well, we're gonna use food as a means of expressing dissent, rebellion, Uranus, and this thing came together. Apparently, it got started on Saturday, so you figure maybe it came together, you know, a few days before that when the Sun entered Cancer and Venus in showy Leo opposes Mars.
Yeah.
So that's one example, you know. So,
well, it's certainly a powerful time for me, you know, because I've got Saturn, my Jupiter's in Capricorn, but I've got Saturn and
what degree?
Pluto. I think it's like 20 something. So I have to tell you, but in the 12th house, I've got Saturn, Jupiter, and Pluto is transiting there. Mars is about to go retrograde, and the moon's there. So I've been finding that when the moon is in Capricorn, since Saturn has gone into Capricorn, and of course my moon's in Cancer, opposite my Saturn.
Right.
So, I mean, I really feel these Capricorn moons.
It triggers your insider's perspective.
Yes, it really does. So, okay, my Saturn, it's 24 degrees. And my Jupiter's 29. So it's still going on in my 11th house, but I feel whenever the moon's in Capricorn, it just triggers, even though that's a wide world. It's like I can tell. I go, oh,
yeah.
Well, plus it's the full moon that we're coming to, and my moon's in Cancer. I always feel the moon too. So it's like double for me. Yeah. This whole thing about the everything that's going on with the Saturn in Capricorn, the Uranus in Taurus, you know, the Pluto in Capricorn. I mean, it's just, you must see it in the news. It's palpable about big changes coming. Structures changing.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's interesting. The Uranus and Taurus, okay, so you have the energy of change and disruption, you know, impacting all that we literally hold dear, everything that matters. Taurus is the material world, right? So our values and our the pleasures of our senses, our money, the things that we own. So the upside potential is, you know, somehow to become liberated from the need to possess, perhaps. There have been some interesting articles that are crossing the wires where it's like, well, we should all just rent things. Why do we need one snowplow? Why does everybody need their own snowplow? We should just have one snowplow and we just share it. Why does anybody need to own anything anymore? These are some things that will be explored. We're going to be seeing revolutions in food production and disruptions in the food chain. That's one thing. The Pluto and Capricorn, which has just been going on since forever, since 2009. This is transformation and consolidation of power and resources. When Saturn, which is in Capricorn, you know, next year we'll meet up. I can't remember the exact date. I think it's early 2020. I'm always focusing in the moment, you know, so I have to like stop and actually look a year ahead because I'm looking at, well, what's going on right now? You know, what's going on in the news now? So when we have that, and I tell you today with the Supreme Court, Justice Kennedy retiring, thinking about, you know, how is this consolidation of power moving to a more, potentially authoritarian, trend, at least in the near term, short term, how is that likely to be affected? And we can see that with a Supreme Court vacancy, which you see in Anthony Kennedy's horoscope, this guy had to make a change this year. I mean, there's just no way around it. But if there is another justice that comes on that is, with the conservative values or whatever they're called these days, I don't know, the rulings that are going to be coming out of the Supreme Court are likely to be favoring corporations and these kinds of institutions. We see that reflected with Saturn conjunct Pluto, which is what's coming down the pike.
Yeah, that's where I was headed with that. But I'm thinking, yeah, but Saturn's only going to be in there for a couple of years, and then it'll move into Aquarius.
Yeah.
And
right.
Then we're going to have some uproar about that. But would you say maybe because my Saturn and Jupiter and Capricorn opposing my moon, it's palpable for me? I mean, it's something,
so
I just felt it.
What's
it's a wide orb.
What degree?
Oh, 20. Uh-huh.
Okay, well, you are feeling emotional intensity up the yin-yang with Pluto sitting right on that moon all year and will be eclipsed on July 12th. So, you know, do I have your permission to talk about, like, what that might feel like? Because I don't want to, like, talk about your horoscope.
And so, my moon's in Cancer, right?
Right, it's Cancer. So we've got this solar eclipse, this new moon solar eclipse. So let's see. So it's in your moon is in the sixth house.
Yeah. And I have to tell you, July 12th is a very prominent day for me.
Okay.
Can I tell you? That's
sure.
the day that
yeah,
my
yeah,
mother
yeah.
died. That's the day my mother died. Isn't that interesting?
That is interesting. That's interesting. So she passed away on the day where the sun was conjunct your moon. Mm-hmm. So this is going to be a significant eclipse for you because it's going to be at 20 degrees of Cancer. So there may be some changes in domestic situation. Cancer is ruling your sixth house or the seventh house?
Sixth house.
Okay, so maybe changes in your work routine might be something. There may be issues with pets or how you are of service. Maybe you're changing your diet.
I'm anticipating that I've changed my. I am always changing my diet, but I just I have a new space that's going to be a new center. So as well as having office, I have a new space. That's interesting you would say that. Anyways, I didn't mean for it to be all about me. And I know
thank you so much. Here's the thing. It's like the astrology of the news applies to the astrology of Cynthia. It's more accessible when you, and hopefully everybody's listening is going, wow, this applies to me. I should probably investigate my horoscope and be apprised. This is some abstract concept. You know, Lucille Ball, who cares about that? But, you know, what about me? Well, yes, what about you? Let's talk about you.
I want to make sure before the time goes that we say your website again, and that's graceastrology.com. Yes?
Graceastrology.com. Please be advised, I am not on YouTube. I am Grace Astrology on the web and Facebook only. I'm not on Instagram, so I don't even go there. I am Grace Astrology on the web, and I write a, you can subscribe to my forecast. I don't charge for it, or you can go to my page and read it, and you will understand, as my inspiration, Rocky Gardner, may she rest in peace, over the LA Weekly, you'll understand the planetary patterns of the day and how it's likely to be experienced in your environment, and you'll understand why people are making news, why governments are doing what they're doing. And you can tell I'm in New York because a siren is roaring by my apartment. But anyway,
well, I don't know if you can hear them. It gave it that authentic feeling, you know.
Now you really know I'm in New York. I'm not just making it up.
It has been such a pleasure to have you on the show. I think we could have gone on for another hour talking about things. And thank you. We jumped over into question week, but I just have felt all that so strongly. So thank you so much, Elizabeth Grace. Go check out her at graceastrology.com. She's wonderful.
Yay!
Yeah. Okay. Thanks.
Okay. You're welcome.
Okay. Talk soon. Bye-bye.